Welcome to Tori Mechinach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Tet Zayin, Chapter 16. Yirmiyahu is told in the beginning of this perek something extraordinary. Lo tikach lecha isha, v'lo yu lecha banim u'banot b'makom hazeh. Do not marry, do not have sons or daughters in this place. Yirmiyahu is told not to have a wife or children, because destruction is coming to the land, and people are going to die gruesome deaths. It is not a world in which to bring in happiness, joy, or children. Why would Hashem make Yirmiyahu do this? In the previous parak, chapter 15, Yirmiyahu complained about how hard his life was being the prophet of destruction, how he was unable to relax, hang out with a group, or really have any friends. He told Hashem, "It is because of your hands I sit alone." Now, Hashem is making him even more alone. A wife, children would accept him, understand him. They could alleviate his deep loneliness. Why would Hashem take this away from him? The Malbim and Radak explain that Hashem was speaking not about Yirmiyahu's life in general, but b'makom hazeh, in this place, which is referring to Anatot. If you remember, the people of Anatot tried to poison Yirmiyahu, and they got a specific decree against them that their people will be wiped out in the time of the Chorban. So Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu, don't have a wife and children in this place. Don't settle down. Don't become part of their terrible future. Instead, leave this place, have your family, and settle elsewhere. Only then can you have a future. The other Mefarshim, however, read this literally, not that it only referred to Anatot, but Yirmiyahu is told not to get married and have children at all. He is destined for a life alone, the very thing that he dreaded in the previous parak. In which case, the question remains, why would Hashem do this, according to this understanding? We've seen Yirmiyahu previously do a maaseh simli, a symbolic action. In chapter 13, Yirmiyahu is told to buy a loincloth and first wear it, but then bury it in Nachal Prat. When he goes and retrieves the loincloth, the fabric disintegrates in his hand. Hashem explains that the loincloth represents Bnei Yisrael, who were wrapped around Hashem, but when they remove themselves from him, they fall apart, lose their purpose. Just like the loincloth needs to be washed, cared for to stay true to its purpose, so too Bnei Yisrael need to stay with Hashem wrapped around him. In this allegory, in this maaseh simli, Bnei Yisrael are represented by a loincloth, but Yirmiyahu is the one who is wearing the fabric, in which case he represents Hashem. We already know how connected Hashem and Yirmiyahu are. Hashem told Yirmiyahu in chapter 1 that he knew him and loved him even before he was born. But this loincloth action takes it a step further, and Yirmiyahu actually plays the part of God. This maaseh simli in Perek Tet Zayin takes Yirmiyahu's role even a step further. He is not just playing the role of Hashem. He needs to feel what Hashem is feeling, understand Hashem's emotional world in the story of destruction. Just like Hashem is separating from his children, Bnei Yisrael, so too Yirmiyahu must separate from his children. Yirmiyahu must experience what Hashem's loss is like as Bnei Yisrael are sinning against him, and he's losing the very children that he wishes he had, those that could, in theory, almost alleviate God's loneliness. Yirmiyahu is not just doing the symbolic action here, he is the symbolic action. After Hashem explains that so many people will die, he tells Yirmiyahu not to go to any houses of mourning to offer comfort, because, as he says in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Ki asafti et shlomi me'et ha'amazeh ne'um Hashem, et ha'chesed v'et ha'rachmim. I withdrawn my favor from the people, says Hashem, my kindness and compassion. I'm no longer going to be compassionate to the people. Just as Hashem cannot offer nechama, solace, to the people, so too Yirmiyahu cannot. And therefore Hashem says, Yirmiyahu, don't go to any more houses of mourning. You are playing the part of me, God. He's also barred from going to a party and joining with the people in happiness. Pasuk Tet says, Ki ko amar Hashem svakot Elokei Yisrael, so says God, Hineni mashpit min hamakom hazeh le'inechem ubiyamechem kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala. This pasuk might sound familiar to you because it's the opposite of it is printed on many wedding invitations. The opposite of it comes later in Yirmiyahu. But here Hashem says, do not go to any houses of joy. Don't go to any parties, because I'm taking away before your eyes the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bride, and the voice of the groom. War is not a time when people hold weddings. The future's too uncertain. People must hide from their enemies. They cannot focus on marrying. Yirmiyahu knows this, and he alone believes it. He believes that the calamity is coming, the catastrophe is near. So he must not join in their mirth and celebration, knowing the calamitous end. And Yirmiyahu too cannot get married, because he knows that Hashem is taking away joy from Bnei Yisrael. Once again, Yirmiyahu is not just doing a Maaseh Simli, he is the Maaseh Simli. We now see a further depth to this symbolic action. Yirmiyahu represents Hashem, who is separated from the people, but there's another side as well. Yirmiyahu also, at the same time, represents Bnei Yisrael. He represents the people who are marching towards their own destruction. He cannot have children because Hashem is bereft of children, but also because the people are going to lose their children. He cannot get married because Hashem has lost his bride, Bnei Yisrael, but also because the people are headed towards war, and Yirmiyahu must represent this idea with his own life. Yirmiyahu is a symbol of both Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. He represents the loss that each of them feel. The bodily understanding of both God and man creates a prophet who can care about Hashem and feel his loss, as well as care about the people and grieve for what they are going to experience. He becomes within himself the compilation of both sides. Within himself and his own experience, he brings them together. The message that Yirmiyahu represents with his body does actually, in this parak, seem to have an impact on the people. I'm reading now from Pasuk Yud. V'haya ki tagid la'am hazeh et hadvarim ha'eila. Hashem says, when you're going to tell Bnei Yisrael these things that you can't have children, these things that you can't marry because of what's going to happen to them, v'amru elecha, they're going to say to you, amadi ber Hashem ileinu et kol hara gedola hazeh. Why is Hashem saying these terrible things to us? Ma avonenu, ma chatatenu, what's our sin asher chatanu la'Hashem elokeinu? What did we do to deserve this? And Yirmiyahu will respond in Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, V'amarta lema, al asher azvu avotecha motiinu, Hashem, because you left me. V'yilchu acharei Elohim acharim, you went after foreign gods. V'yavdum, v'yashachavu lehem, and you bowed down to them. V'oti azavu, you left me. V'atorati lo shamaru, and you didn't keep my Torah. And he goes on in Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, V'atem hara'utem lasot me'avotecham, you're even worse than your fathers. Hinchem hochim, ish achrei shrirut libo hara levilti shomei alai. You go after the badness of your heart and you don't listen to me, even worse than your fathers did. And then in Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'hitalti etchem me'al ha'aretz hazot al ha'aretz asher lo yedatem atem va'avotecham, I'm going to uproot you, I'm going to throw you out of this beautiful land, the one that you didn't know. Va'avadetem sham et Elohim acherim yomam v'layla asher lo etein lachem chanina. And you're going to be lost from it. You can worship all the other gods that you worship day and night that I didn't give you, that the ones that are not real. Rabbi Menachem Leibtav explains that the words acharei shrirut libo from Pasuk Yud Bet, from verse 12, that you went after this badness of your heart, means you followed the muscles of your heart, almost like muscle memory. You were doing the sins over and over. Part of the reason that you do it, part of the reason that they sin, is because they don't really consider that they're wrong. This quasi-idolatrous worship of the time of Jehoiakim was so familiar to them that no matter how many times Yirmiyahu tells them it's wrong, they just don't change it. It's so ingrained. But as much as they go on and they live their double lives, they cannot fool Hashem, and it will be their own undoing. As it says in Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, Ke'enai al kol derechem, my eyes are on all of your ways. Lonis teru milfanai, you can't hide from me. Lonis panav onam, you can't hide your sins mineged einai, from before my eyes. Like an ever-present parent, Hashem always sees them, no matter what, no matter how they try to hide. The image of Hashem as a father separated from his children comes back in a different way in verse 14 to 15. Yirmiyahu tells them that after Hashem disperses them and after they are exiled from their lands, Hashem will bring them back to Eretz Yisrael, the lands of their fathers. In Pasuk Yud Dalet, verse 14, it says, Lachen hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem, there will be days. V'lo yeimer od chai Hashem asher ha'elat b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Yisrael, people are not going to say, We swear by Hashem, the one who took Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim. Rather, ki imchai Hashem asher ha'elat Bnei Israel me'aretz tzafon. Rather, the God that took Bnei Israel out of the northern lands, umikol ha'aretzot asher hidicham sham, and all the different lands that he spread them out there, v'hashivotim alad matam asher natati la'avotechem, he brought them back to the land that he had given to their forefathers. So what Yirmiyahu is telling them, if you could only change this, you can avoid it. But even if you can't avoid it, just realize that the God that feels bereft of his children, the God that will feel so sad that his children are leaving him, this is also the God that won't ever leave you. And one day after he disperses you, he will take you back to your land. He will bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. He won't ever forget about you. Yirmiyahu ends the parak by saying, Hashem uzi uma uzi, umenusi biyom tzara. Hashem, you are my strength, my refuge in the days of trouble. Eilecha goyim yavo me'af se'aretz. To you, nations will come from all the ends of the earth. Vayomru, ach sheker nachalu avotenu. Hevel ve'im b'mo'il. They're going to realize and they're going to say, the way that we've worshipped, what we inherited from our father, it was just silliness, it was delusions, it was futile, it was worthless. Really, the only true way is to worship Hashem. So Hashem, Yirmiyahu takes strength in this. He takes strength in the fact that he knows that Hashem is right, and he knows that he always has Hashem. And one day, not only will Bnei Israel realize it, but all the nations of the world will realize it. While he cannot have a family life and must live alone, Yirmiyahu's mission is of great importance. He still has his Hashem, who is his strength, and he knows that one day the people will recognize that he was right. One day, his truth will be known. Until then, he will comfort himself in his quest, and in his relationship with Hashem that we see in this parak just gets stronger and stronger as he goes from being close to Hashem to playing a role of Hashem to, in this case, even experiencing that God's emotional world, Bnei Israel's emotional world, and bringing them together through his own bodily experience. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilo Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.